El Salvador, the smallest country in all of Central America. Most people could not even locate it on a map. They also wouldn't know that this country experienced a violent civil war in the 1980s. This caused nearly all missionaries to leave. As a result, a great spiritual vacuum was created, as well as the need for churches to be planted. Although the Charters had been faithfully serving in Russia for 10 years, God began to burden their hearts for this forgotten country. Stepping out by faith, the Charters family moved to El Salvador in 2007. Within 1 year, they established the Fundamental Baptist Church of Metapan. From the very beginning, God began to change lives and transform families.
I came to the first service of the church when it began in March of 2008.
I came to church when I was 12 years old, which is about 7 years ago, and I started in the kids' Sunday school class.
I heard about the church for the first time because church members came to my house and invited me to come.
I heard about the church from my family when my daughters attended Vacation Bible School.
Trusted Christ as my Savior approximately 5 years ago. At the end of a Sunday evening service, when it was over, I went up to Mrs. Charters and told her I was ready. She was very excited but also nervous because it was the first time she'd ever witnessed to someone in Spanish. But praise God, I was able to understand. Thanks to her, I know I'm safe.
I received Christ in the year 2010 through my pastor and my family, and I am so extremely thankful to God for rescuing me.
It was actually at the first teen activity when I got saved.
But what I like most about church are the teen activities and teen camp, because they're really fun and we learn a lot from the Bible.
I'd say my favorite part about church is everything. For me, preaching is my favorite part because that's what benefits me the most.
My favorite part would have to be the children's Sunday school class. Because I was reached as a little girl through the Sunday school ministry. And in our church, we have seen so many of the kids' lives transformed.
My life has changed for the better.
My life has changed in many ways because before I had a wrong group of friends that were doing the wrong things. But now I spend most of my time with my friends at church, and we go to activities together and have the right kind of fun.
The Lord helped me quit all of my old bad habits, and since that time, praise God, I've been alcohol-free, and I've been faithfully attending the church every chance I get.
Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you for giving to missions and supporting missionaries.
And thank you for sending the Charters family.
Gracias.
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 Muchas gracias.
Gracias.
Some people would question why missionaries go to the mission field. Maybe not you, maybe not people in church, but some people think that it's a loss or a waste of time or a waste of life. But you've seen the people, you heard their stories firsthand. And in Spanish, they would say vale la pena, which in other words, it's worth it. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the cost. And so you saw in the pictures, our kids, if you knew us before, when we came before, if you have our old prayer cards, and kind of funny to see on the back wall, one of the older prayer cards, actually, I think it was one of the first, actually, I think that one, it's our first one to El Salvador. And so our son, he was 6 years old when we first went, and he just turned 18 this year. And so when we go back in January, we'll be empty nesters. And so we appreciate your prayers as we go through this change in life, and pray for our family, pray for our church in El Salvador. We have a young couple serving with us down there, Jason and Magali, and their three children, and he's serving as interim pastor. We're praying that, Lord willing, that he will take the church and that we'll transfer the church over to him when we go back down. And so we ask that you pray with us about that. And so I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. But before we do, oh, you already put the screen up. Can we put it back down real quick? Sure. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and do it. We're informal tonight, right? Okay, that'll work. Sorry about that. I was gonna mention that since you already had the stuff set up and ready to go. But we have a picture of our family now. They've grown, not only our kids, but our family has grown. And so if you want to put that up whenever, does it take a long time for the projector to warm back up or anything? It's already there. Okay, perfect, perfect. All right, so yeah, we're going to just stream up there from Brother Torres's phone. So we just wanted to show you an updated picture of our family. And so our two daughters are now married. Our second daughter, Kelsey, was married back in July, and that's kind of what kind of started our furlough. And then you see Curtis over here all the way to the right, and he's 20 and now in college. And then Caleb, our youngest, like I said, he just graduated high school. He graduated 1 year early, and so he's praying, seeking the Lord's will for his life. And so then also I wanted to share with you another photo. Oh, there was one other. My son-in-law, can't forget my son-in-law, my daughter's, that's not the picture, but that's okay. We also have the other son-in-law, but he's not in that picture, but I'll explain this photo here. And so, Edwin, all the way over here to your left, has been in our church, from the beginning. His wife was at the very first service, and, he works in a hardware store. And he invited his friend many, many times, Walter, who's there in the striped shirt. And so Walter's very shy. And so he would come to our church by bicycle, but he came by 4 weeks in a row and wouldn't stop and come in. He was just nervous and shy. He wouldn't come in, but he did come in. And then he started coming for a couple months, and we witnessed to him, but he was reluctant to trust Christ. Eventually, he got saved, and then his wife, Betty, started coming, and then their three sons came, and they all got saved in our church. And we started discipling Walter and Betty. And as we begin discipleship each time, but even from the beginning, we always like to pray with them, ask them if they have any needs. And so we asked Walter and Betty how we could pray for them. And so Betty said, "Can you please pray for my brother, Marvin?" And so we began praying for Marvin and Carmen. And Marvin was working the day we took this picture, but Carmen is in the pink shirt there. And so they came on a friend day, and then we went and visited them in their home, and we were able to lead Carmen and Marvin to Christ, and we began discipling them. And then we began praying with them, and we asked Carmen and Marvin, how could we pray for them? And so Marvin said, please pray for my friend, Naum, and his wife, Juanita. And so we began praying for them. Actually, Naum was a co-worker with Marvin. And so we had, I think it was just a special day. They came, and we were able to also visit them in their home. Naum had made a profession before, but was not living for the Lord. He rededicated his life. Juanita got saved, and we began discipling them. And then we asked, how could we pray for them? And so then Juanita said, please pray for my childhood friend. We've grown up together. Her name is Carla. And so we began praying for Carla. And as you would guess, okay, the next person in line is Carla and her husband, Melvin. And so she came on Mother's Day, and he was a taxi driver, so he didn't come. He was working. And so we visited them in their home, and we were sharing the gospel with Melvin and Carmen and Carla and Melvin. We were sharing the gospel with them, and Carla's son and brother, who was living with them, came home, and their son was a grade school, and then her brother was in junior high. And so we shared with them, hey, we're telling your parents the most important thing in life, and that's how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And so all the family got saved, and they began coming, and then we're discipling Carla and with Melvin, and so praying for them that we continue the change. So we just want to share that picture with you just to let you see again what God is doing there, and that is continuing. But we just want to brag on the Lord. We know that you don't see that all the time, and we also praise the Lord for the many families in our church, the complete families. And so we can go ahead and put the screen back up, and thank you for your patience with that. But we just, like I said, we want to brag on the Lord, let you see a little bit more the people firsthand, what God is doing there. And like I said, we're so thankful for the families that we have, the men that are leading in our church. And another thing for a model in our ministry is that we've always, from the beginning, began with a purpose to turn the church over to a national. So we've tried to do ministry in a way that it's not us doing all that. In the early days, it was all of us. We wore all the hats. I was a choir director, and my wife played the piano, and I was the youth pastor and the custodian and security guard and all these things, and my wife, nursery worker, Sunday school superintendent, all those type of things. But as time went on, we trained the people. We gave those ministries not just for them to do it, but then to serve over those and be the leaders. And we have lay leadership in all the ministries of our church. And so, like I said, at this point now, it's our prayer that now we are able to turn the church over to this young couple, Jason and Magali Rosales, and then it would be mission accomplished. Amen. And so we see here in Acts chapter 14, our text, and we'll begin reading verse 23. And if you like to write notes to kind of keep you awake, I'm going to be speaking about completing the Great Commission. Completing the Great Commission. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about that we would complete it and then it's done and we all go to heaven. No, I'm just talking about this, our perspective in Metapon, our church, or in our life as a missionary. But we'll see here in the text where we're going with that. So in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, if you would please stand with me as we read from God's Word, Acts chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Let me set the stage here for mostly the kids. Maybe they don't understand. We jumped right in the middle of the chapter. This is the talking about the Apostle Paul as they're completing their first missionary journey. And so the Apostle Paul was the first missionary, New Testament missionary sent out of a Christian church. And they went out into Asia Minor and they were preaching, establishing churches. And so now we pick up at the tail end of that very first missionary journey. And so it says they've ordained elders. In other words, they established pastors in all the churches that they had started. Verse 24. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And thence, or from there, sailed to Antioch, which is a city, from whence they had been recommended, or from where they were sent out. So they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Now notice that, if you like to underline your Bible, underline those words, the work which they fulfilled. And so that's the idea we're looking at here, completing the Great Commission, at least for them in that location on that missionary journey. Verse 27, and when they were come, or these missionaries, when they came to Antioch, their sending church, when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here in this place with your word in our hearts and in our hands. And I would just pray that you'd please move in our hearts, help us to understand what you have for us in your word tonight in this passage, how it applies to this church, how it applies to each of us personally. And so I ask that you please speak through me, pray that you'd fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. And as the mouthpiece or the speaker of the word of God this evening, I need the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit. I also pray equally for each person here. Each listener, that they would be yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would receive and hear what you would have for us to hear, that we'd not only hear, but we would hear what you would have for us and understand. And we ask all this for Christ's name, in his sake, and for the gospel's sake, and in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And so here, like I said, we're talking about the first missionary journey and the first missionary that was the Apostle Paul. And he's sent out of the church in Antioch. And the Bible says about the church in Antioch, they were first called Christians in Antioch. And actually, Antioch is significant because it was the first Gentile church that was established. And if you study in Acts chapter 13 and 12 and 13, there you'll find out that the believers and the church leaders in Jerusalem, the disciples or the apostles that were ministering in Jerusalem, they had heard after the dispersion of from the persecution of the death of Stephen and the dispersion of the Christians, and they were going everywhere preaching the gospel, seeing people trust Christ. Then in Antioch, there was this group of believers that formed a church. And so the church in Jerusalem, the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, found out about it. They heard about it. And they said, hey, let's send somebody down there and find out what's going on. So they sent Barnabas. He went down, and it's a beautiful story, and it says that when he went down, he saw how that they were just growing in the grace of God. And so then the Apostle Paul, he comes down, and he wants to come and check out what's going on. And they stayed there a long time, Paul and Barnabas, with the believers, with these Gentile believers in Antioch. And so really we're looking at the model or the example of Pauline missions in the New Testament. Like I said, this is the first missionary sent out of the first Gentile church, the first missionary journey in the first century. And so you can read about that in Acts chapter 11, verse 20, 21. Let me just kind of clarify a little bit tonight. I mentioned to Pastor that this message will be a little bit different maybe than what you're used to. It's not so much that I'm preaching, parents and grandparents can kind of relax. I'm not trying to, convince your kids that they should go to the mission field. Although that'd be great. If anyone wants to sign up and go, I applaud and I would encourage you. But that's not what this message is about. And this message really is more of a teaching, more of a lesson that we would see, like I said, the biblical model for worldwide missions. I think that we'll be encouraged because we'll see that that's what we're doing even tonight. With having a missionary family coming back and reporting in your church. And you, as a church, are following that biblical model by supporting missionaries and praying and giving. And as I said at the beginning, it's worth it all. Amen? Vale la pena. And you see the people, and you'll see those people in heaven, and they'll be saved forever. And their lives and their families will be impacted forever. So I want us to see tonight in completing the Great Commission, I'll just use us or our family, our ministry as kind of the application to these biblical principles. And so I want to share with you tonight quickly on the time that we have it, just five simple principles that you're thinking, oh, 5 points, but I'll try to go really quick, honestly. So number one, we see here that they reach their goal. they reached their goal. The missionaries, as they went out, remember that it said in verse 28, they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they had completed the job that God had called them to do. And how awesome to be a part of a church that was uniquely used by God, or uniquely open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that when He spoke, the members in the church heard and they went out. Let's look at the call of God in the church in Antioch. If you go back to the previous chapter in Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 through 4. So we're talking about the church in Antioch. And so we're kind of going back, kind of like when you see in a movie, and sometimes the movie starts at the end and then it goes back to where it all began. So here we are at Acts chapter, not that we believe in movies, right, Pastor? But I'm just saying, you know, you'll watch the history of something. And so we're here at the very beginning. And so in Acts chapter 13, here we see verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, which was Paul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, so when the church fasted and prayed, not just these church leaders, but when the church fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, the missionaries, they sent them away. And so they were praying for not only, they really didn't have to pray for the unction or the calling. They already recognized that God had called them. They had heard. He says, "Hey, I want those specific ones to go do a specific work." And so a lot of times you will recognize a young person, or they go to Bible college and say, "Hey, God's called me to be a missionary to Russia or to El Salvador or whatever." And then the church prays for them and they send them out. And that's exactly what we see happening here. And then verse 4, so they, the missionaries, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed in Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so here they're going north up into Asia Minor. And actually, we see back in Acts chapter 14, they're really up in the southern part of Turkey. And so now they're coming back down to their sending church to report all that God had done. That's what we see there in verse 27 of Acts chapter 14. So they had reached their goal, or in other words, they had accomplished the task that God had called them to do. Like I said, how awesome to be a part of a church where the Holy Ghost spoke and they responded. And you know, we see that when God moves and people get saved, and people go out from our church and go to Bible college or go to the mission field. And so I think you as a church need to pray. Say, "God, send someone from our church." Wouldn't that be awesome? Some young people or even older people could say, "Hey, you know, we're retired or whatever. We have our income. We can go help other missionaries, or we can do whatever." And wouldn't it be awesome that God would speak to someone here? And God can. Amen. Let's pray that He would do it again. And so what a great testimony. What a great honor to be a part of a church that's involved in the Great Commission, reaching the world, sending missionaries to the uttermost. And Jesus promised that He would build my church. He'd build His church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And so we see that it's not our church that we establish in Russia, not our church or the Gringos church in El Salvador, but it's the church of the living God. And so, like I said, our desire is to see that church that's self-propagating, self-sufficient, self-sustaining under the leadership of a national pastor. And so that's our goal. That's what we're working toward. Our end game is to see that happen. So we knew that God had called us to El Salvador. Without any doubt, I knew. Now, it wasn't 100% certainty when I was in Bible college. I knew that God wanted me to be a missionary, but I wasn't sure exactly where. I actually thought that I would go to Alaska. I grew up as an Air Force military brat and grew up on military bases. And so I've always had a love and a fascination for flying and airplanes and aviation. And so I thought I'd be a missionary pilot, honestly, in Alaska. My mother is Aleut Indian. She was born in Kodiak, Alaska, along the Aleutian Islands. And so I'd go back to my people. And that's what I was singing the whole time while I was in Bible college. And didn't really want to continue doing all the schooling and having to learn aviation mechanics and all that, but I was looking forward to it. Met my wife, and she knew that I was going to be a missionary from the beginning. But when I was a senior in high school, toward the end of the year, and as I was approaching graduation, was when the Iron Curtain fell, and Russia opened up for the gospel. And God used Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, where Jesus was moved by compassion when he saw the multitudes. The people all over the world without someone to tell them about the gospel and about his great love and his great sacrifice for them. And he says to his disciples, he said to the church at the time, he says, pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. And I thought at that time, as a senior in Bible college about to graduate, where else in the world is the harvest more plenteous and labors fewer? And so the Lord led us there, and we knew there's the Holy Spirit calling us. I remember I went to the bus meeting, and we had a bus route when I was in college, and I came home from the bus meeting to pick up my wife. We're going to go out and visit our bus route, and I said to my wife, I think the Lord's calling us to Russia. And she thought, phew, that's great, because maybe we don't have to go to someplace cold like Alaska. But come to find out that St. Petersburg, Russia is cold only 9 months out of the year. But we knew God had called us there. And so, honestly, you can imagine our confusion when the Lord would take a missionary already on the field, had already spent 10 years on the field, learning a very difficult language, adapting to the culture, raising our children on the mission field, and then he would send us to another field. But we knew that God had called us to go to El Salvador. And so we had completed the task, but we had peace that the Lord said, it's time for you to go from El Salvador. We turned the church over to another missionary, and we went on to El Salvador, not knowing anyone, not knowing the language. The extent of our ability to speak Spanish was what I learned growing up watching Sesame Street, and my kids growing up watching Dora, so I could say cerrado and adios. And that was about it. But we studied Spanish, and the Lord allowed us to study, learn Spanish. And we were in the country for about 9 months. And our church, Lancaster, came down, brought a delegation, a large team, and we handed out thousands of tracts. And we were living in the capital city of San Salvador at the time, because we were in language school. Our kids were in a bilingual English-speaking school. And the town of Metapan was about an hour and a half away, but our church, the Sydney church, brought this team down to help us evangelize and help us prepare for our church plant. And so we started, and we saw people get saved from that very first meeting. We began meeting in a banquet room of a restaurant of a man that our pastor led to Christ when he went down there. And so we were starting the church, and I used an interpreter for like the first 4 weeks, the first four Sundays, and it was rather frustrating. I figured, hey, I can at least read Spanish, and I can read my notes, and, you know, I've seen politicians, even presidents, you know, read their speeches from teleprompters, so I figured, hey, I can do that. So, you know, we began just preaching in Spanish and seeing souls saved. We had visitors every single Sunday for the first 2 years. We knocked on every door multiple times in our town there of Metapan. And so God is doing a great work. You saw in the videos, but job is not completed. Now, although we see here in Acts chapter 14, number one, they had completed their work. They had reached their goal. But like I said, we're praying that the Lord will allow us to ordain the elder and leave that church with that young man. Then also number two, we see that they return to their sending church. So like I said, rather quickly, number two, they return to their sending church in verse 26 of Acts chapter 16. And they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together. So very similar to like tonight. You've gathered the church together. You have the missionary coming, sharing what God has done. And So they returned to their sending church. I was talking to a pastor, and although you're not our sending church per se, you have been a supporting church for the past 23 years. From the very first year that we began to gather support, you have been with us in that partnership. And so you are equally important to the work, and you will equally share in the blessings and the eternal rewards. And like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And that's why we want to share those videos and let you see the story of that family chain and how the gospel is changing lives and impacting Metapon with the power of God and with the gospel. And so as the missionaries came back, they reported to the church. They brought the church together and they returned to their sending and supporting churches. And so I want to share something with you. If you would turn with me in your Bible. Keep your spot there in Acts chapter 14. We'll go back, but just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see a passage here, and we'll go through this rather quickly so we can finish on time. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see here 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 deals a lot with giving. Deals with ministering to the needs of the saints, but also we see biblical principles here for giving to missions. And in chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." So that's talking about you. If you support missions, if you give to missions, you're giving to the poor, the spiritually poor who need to hear the gospel. It says your righteousness remaineth forever. Your reward is eternal. But look at verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Now the context here, like in the parable of the sower, that's the preacher or the missionary in, as we're speaking here. He that ministers seed to the sower, so that's subsistence or financial ability to the sower or to the minister. He ministers bread for your food. In other words, God takes care of your needs. And he multiplies your seed sown. So what you give is then blessed by God. It's multiplied and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So through us, he's talking about from the missionary perspective. You guys gave. And so you are causing to us many thanksgivings. You all saw all these people. We're praising God with them. They're praising God. You heard them say, thank you. Gracias. Muchas gracias for you giving because they got saved. Because you gave and because we went. And so this is a multiplied thanksgivings to God. Then look at verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. So God is praised. God is thanked because you gave, because you have a tender heart to missions. Number three, we see also verse 27 that they rehearsed all that God had done in and through them. They rehearsed all that God had done in and through them. Verse 27, when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, remember the context here. Like I said, this was after the persecution of Stephen. There were not a lot of established church per se. But the Apostle Paul went out on his first missionary journey. And as you read through the book of Acts, and you can read in the epistles, in Galatians and Thessalonians, and you read in Ephesians about the battles that they faced as they were trying to preach the gospel and those working against the gospel, the Judaizers who were trying to devalue and go against his preaching. And there were sorcerers and there were other people and there were uproars and Paul was imprisoned and all these type of things were working against the gospel. But here it says they came back to the church and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I like to just kind of emphasize a little bit before we see what God did among the Gentiles. It says that all that God had done with them. That's why in my point to you, they rehearsed all that God had done in and through them. And I wish I could spend a long time with you. Like the Bible says here, they in the last verse of chapter 14, they spent a long time there with the disciples. And so we can't, you know, share with you in 30 minutes of one evening service all that God has done in 10 or 11 years in El Salvador, 10 years in Russia. We were talking with Pastor about one time we were broken into. Praise God, we weren't hurt. They'd stole a few things, but they didn't touch us, and they left out the front door. Love to tell you about all the people that have trusted Christ. But God is changed and worked in us. We're different from who we were 25 years ago. We're different from who we were 11 years ago. When we come back, we'd love to just share that spiritual growth and all that God has done in us, and just desire that for you as a church, that you would experience God's wonderful miracle working power in the lives of other people. And so even though in the context of American postmodernism or the youth that rejects God, or the growing atheism, or the fact that the fastest growing belief is no belief at all in America, the gospel is still the gospel, and God still changes lives. And so God wants to work in you and through you to bring the faith to the Gentiles, those that are around you. And so we see that in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul said that what we did was we were testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they preached. That's what we preached. We did not go there to preach American culture. We did not go down there to establish a church culture, but we were down there to preach the gospel, to preach faith and repentance, so that they might be saved in believing the Lord Jesus Christ. And you saw some of these people that came to Christ in the video. And I wish I could tell you the stories of the men who had mistresses, and those who were not faithful to their families, and how we were able to meet with them and counsel them and see them come to Christ, and to see their families restored, and to see now those are some of the men leading ministries in our church. And you saw one man on the video with the cowboy hat on, as he's has a van route. His name's Manuel, and he used to take his wife to another church, another evangelical church in our town up there in Metapan, for 40 years. He's 70 years old. He took his wife for 40 years. Every single Sunday would drop her off in front of the church, but would never go in. He did not like the hypocrisy of what he thought was going on in the church there at that church. And so he would never go in for 40 years. His wife was actually a sister of one of the ladies in our church. And so Manuel said to his wife one day, he says, "Linda, you know, if you want to go visit that gringo church, I'll go with you." And so they came. And on the second Sunday that he came, I preached a message on, "Are you sure that you're going to heaven?" And he got saved at 70 years old. And then every time he tells his testimony, how God so loved him that he waited for 70 years, although he pushed God away for most of his life. And just every time he weeps as he thanks God. I wish you could meet those that trusted Christ and all these people. But like I said, we can't rehearse all that God has done. But sharing the video, sharing some of these stories, you can see what God has done. We have a couple men in our church that were shot at two different instances in the year of 2016. I'm sure you've heard in the news about MS-13, the gang violence in El Salvador. And in the year 2016, the president down there in El Salvador, he decided to crack down on the gang violence and start to put more of them in jail. And there's about 70,000 gang members all in El Salvador, and about 10,000 of them in prison. And a lot of those kingpins or the leaders are even leading the gangs from the prison. But when the government started to crack down and started to arrest many of those leaders and put them in jail, they spread out from the central cities, and they started going up in the mountain towns like where we were ministering, and the violence increased. And one gentleman in our church, his name was Douglas, was just outside on the steps of his front house. And the houses, as you saw in the video, they're very small, just right on the sidewalk. And no front yards, and just the entrance is right to the front door. So he's out there sitting on the steps with his mother. His mother's sitting there, and two thugs come up and put a gun to his head, and they're demanding their cell phones and whatever cash that he had. Douglas' son came out the door. I think it was 5 years old, 6 years old, and the gang member put the gun to the little child's head. And so Douglas, fearful for his son's life, grabbed for the gun. They wrestled and they went to the ground. The gun was tossed aside. The other gang member picked up the gun, began shooting, and shot Douglas in the stomach and in the leg. The human body has 7 pints of blood. Douglas lost 7 pints of blood before he reached five pints of blood before he reached the hospital, but they were able to save his life. Another man, and he's still living today, still serving in our church today as one of our ushers. Another man, Herman, was in a bad neighborhood. And we have on the main highway goes through the town. The north of the highway is MS-13. South of the highway is DC-18. And the gangs don't miss. If you're on the other side and you're one gang member, you're going to get shot. You're going to get killed. If they think that you're from one of the other gangs on the wrong side, you'll probably get beat up or killed. And so Herman, I guess, was mistaken identity. They thought he was from the other gang, from the other side of town. And they shot him. And the bullet went the back of his neck, the side of his neck, came out the back of his neck, nearly missed his spinal column, but he lived. But now he can barely speak, and he has limited faculties. But praise the Lord, he's still alive. Like I said, we believe that God has supernaturally protected us so that we can remain there to continue preaching the gospel, to see many more people come to faith. But like I said, we just want to share all that God has done in us and through us and how he brought opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I wish I could tell you more, but God is doing great things. Number four, and quickly we'll go. Number four, in verse 28, they received the church's hospitality. They received the church's hospitality. And so when missionaries come back for furlough, it's not a glorified extended vacation. Trust me, it's not. We do get some rest, but it's a lot of work. It's actually difficult for us emotionally because our kids are growing up and getting married, and they'll stay here. And actually, it's been happening every 2 years. Our kids would go off to college. And so it's difficult. But when we come back, we're encouraged by people like you, knowing that you're praying with us. And vale la pena. It's all worth it. We know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And your prayers and your sacrificial giving is not in vain in the Lord. And you will receive a soul winner's crown for that. I believe that you will be rewarded for your gifts of righteousness and ministering to the sowers as they go, and your gifts will be their seed will be multiplied into many thanksgiving unto God. But it says in verse 28, there they abode long time with the disciples. Like I said, we can't spend a long time with every church, but in just the amount of time that we are with you, I'd like to share with you what God is doing and say thank you so much for allowing us to partner together with you. Like I said, we cannot do the Great Commission without you, and you can't do it without us. And we thank God for this great, great partnership. And so the purpose of furlough, like I said, is to come back and tell all that God is doing, but also it's to reconnect. And so if you would allow me just to speak for other missionaries tonight, and please don't misunderstand, I'm not complaining. We're not depressed, but missionary life can be difficult. The pastorate can be difficult. Amen? Yeah. It can be lonely, even here in the States. I could give you the statistics, but we do not have the time. How many pastors' wives feel they do not have even a single friend. Many feel at times like quitting, giving up. Many times feel very lonely and isolated. That's in the United States. Imagine how much more magnified it is for missionaries. In El Salvador, we were the only, I say gringos, some people think it's a bad name, it's not a bad word. We were the only Americans in the city of Metapan for 7 years. There's now a Canadian missionary couple there. But missionaries struggle. Their families struggle. Their kids struggle when they come back to the mission field. And the reason why I'm sharing this, like I said tonight, this is a different message, because I'm not preaching something where you need to change or a particular spiritual growth area or a Christian discipline. But I am asking you to pray. I'm asking you to maybe kind of look at missions a little bit more biblically and realize that missionaries give up a lot, but also they're struggling with a lot and they're fighting a lot and their kids are dealing with a lot. And so it says when they came back, They abode a long time with the disciples. And that's why my point is they receive the church's hospitality. But you know, we can't receive the church of hospitality if the church isn't offering it. And this is where I say I'm not complaining. But can I just kind of give you a little bit of the status of what it's like in most churches? When we come, people don't take our prayer card. Some people will go out the other door. They won't come talk to us. Now, again, I'm not complaining. I'm not asking for everyone to come talk to us at the end. But maybe the next missionaries that come through, okay? But I'm just asking you, don't be afraid. They came. They spent hours driving to come here. They spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on the road. And they come and their kids behind them in tow. And they just want to connect with you. And I'm just asking you, just have a heart for mission. And I know you do. But I'm just asking you to be a little bit more open, a little bit more connected, be more family. And number five, lastly, it says that they re-engaged in new ministry. Like I said, the title of the message is Completing the Great Commission. Our desire from the beginning was to establish churches and to turn it over to national pastors. Probably if you look on most of your prayer cards, especially the new guys always, I had it on my first prayer cards, they have the bullet points. You know what I'm talking about? Their goals, what are their goals? Win souls, disciple converts, establish churches, train nationals or whatever. Okay? And so it's with an exit strategy, with a goal in mind. And so they re-engage in ministry. They're going to continue on doing the same thing. Or they come back to the States and God puts them plugs them in somewhere else or in their other church. A lot of times missionaries come back and teach in a Bible college or whatever. But they re-engage in ministry. If you would, look in Acts chapter 15. And we'll close here with this. Acts chapter 15. Still talking about Paul and Barnabas. They're still at the church in Antioch. So here's our modern lingo. They're at their sending church. Maybe they're having their missions conference. And notice what happens in Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word. They are still engaged in ministry with many others also. That's why I was saying earlier, wouldn't it be great to take some of you along with us? Where are the young people? Where are the missionaries that are going to be called out of Calvary Baptist Church that will take our place to go on and continue the work that God is calling up from every church? God has called all of us to go into all the world. But it says in verse 36, and some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word and see how they do. I believe here that this is a ministry that Paul and the word Barnabas, actually his name means the son of encouragement. And then we see that actually develop his ministry. And what they did, I believe, they went back to all the churches that they started to encourage those pastors in the ministry. And they're still engaged in ministry. They're still involved in the worldwide evangelization and church planting movement. But the church stood behind them and sent them out. And so, church, my challenge for you tonight is say, God, do it again. Thank you, God, for letting us be a part of a New Testament Baptist church that's doing missions the Bible way. And that you get to see firsthand what God is doing, how God is working in the lives of the missionaries. And you see a little bit more, hopefully, how you could pray for the charters. And you pray for our kids and you pray for our ministry. But also, I want to just challenge you, pray that God would stir up your church. Send someone out of your church and that you would see an Antioch ministry here at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how we thank you for loving us. How we thank you for how you speak to our hearts through the power of your word and the Holy Spirit living in each side of us, inside of each one of us. And Lord, I don't know how you're working or with whom you're speaking or calling, and like I said, that's not necessarily my intention tonight. It's my intention just to really see, like we saw here in Acts chapter 14, how missionaries came back to the church and just shared all that God had done. And I pray that in sharing that, there might be others who would say, wow, we were a part of that. Praise the Lord for God keeping the charter safe. And for the people that have been saved and the lives that have been transformed and the families that have been reunited and the church that's been established. Lord, would you do it again? Would you send out others from our church? Would you help us to be more in tune and more personally involved in praying for our missionaries? Maybe you've never given or you're not giving, but maybe you'd start giving or start giving again, or maybe Lord's leading you to give more. But maybe that you'd be more in tune to just shaking the missionary's hand and say, hey, how are you doing? How can we pray for you? And just realize that sometimes they can be lonely and they're coming here to be a blessing to us as the church, but help us as the church to also be a blessing to them. Pray that you work in hearts tonight as you see fit. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as Pastor comes to lead the invitation.